We move to the last case for today, United States v. Fife. Ms. Benjamin?
Good morning. May it please the court, Attorney Kirsch, I am Allison Benjamin, attorney for the defendant appellants James Fife and Karen Cron. This is a direct appeal of their criminal sentencing orders. Fife was sentenced to 46 months and Cron was sentenced to 24 months. Both Fife and Cron assert that the guideline range applicable to them was improperly calculated. In determining the advisory guideline range for Fife, the district court added two levels for abuse of position of trust and two levels for sophisticated means, thus increasing the total offense level to a level 21. Absent this four-point increase, Fife would have received an advisory guideline range of 17. In the case of Cron, the district court added two levels for sophisticated means, increasing the total offense level to a level 17, and absent that, she would have fallen within an advisory guideline range of a level 15. Both Fife and Cron challenged the district court's application of the sophisticated means and Fife solely challenges the application of the abusive position of trust.
You know, let's start with sophisticated means. It seems to me that you're on an uphill battle here because the application note actually even refers to the use of corporate shells, hiding assets and the like. And this court, I mean, sophisticated doesn't mean, you know, cool and debonair or the like. It's means that require a number of steps. You know, there's a nice line in our, I didn't write it so I can say this, the decision in Contney where the court writes, it doesn't mean the degree to which the offender approximates Cary Grant, but to the presence of efforts at concealment that go beyond the ordinary crime. Well, I'm summarizing. So why isn't the use of all these corporations, the four corporations for Mr. Fife and the one for Ms. Khan, enough? It's a factual question, right? The judge has looked at the arrangements, come to that conclusion.
It is a factual question whether or not these entities are actual corporate shells. And actually, two accountants testified at the sentencing hearing, James Schaefer and Jack Weichman, and they verified the existence of bank statements, canceled checks, deposit tickets, check registers, and receipts for the corporations.
But they were just post office boxes, right? I mean, if you read the government's brief, you get a very different impression of what these entities were.
Well,
IRS found no evidence that any of them had legitimate business expenses. Is that right?
There was a agent from the IRS who testified at the sentencing hearing, and that agent indicated that he went to the funeral home owned by Fife's brother and family, and that there was no evidence of an office located at that facility. However,
And that was the address that had been listed, right? He didn't just pick it out of the phone book.
Essentially, that goes to whether or not the tax returns were fraudulent, but not whether or not the corporations existed. Midwest Government Associates...
Well, no one is disputing that the corporations exist. You wouldn't have a corporate shell if nobody had, you know, filed articles of incorporation with the State Secretary of State or the like. So do they do anything other than just funnel money so that the person in question can use it?
Absolutely. Midwest Government Associates monitored legislation and provided lobbying services.
Well, how do we know that? I mean, that was in its description, but who did it for them?
James Fife.
Mr. Fife, yeah. It all gets back to Mr. Fife.
Correct. James Fife had the contract with Midwest Government Associates. Also, James Fife had Corporation for Project Development and Consulting.
And did he report any money received from Midwest Consulting to the IRS?
There were extensions filed for taxes, and essentially, after some taxes had been filed and the government started investigating this case, James Fife brought in a box of documents to his accountants and asked for him to go through and prepare these taxes. But corporate mismanagement is not the same as creating a corporate shell. And just because James Fife had a box of these documents and these receipts and these ledgers and these checks, and maybe they weren't documented into a journal until the accountants got involved, but corporate mismanagement is not the same thing as a corporate shell or a fictitious entity. And that's really the point when you're talking about this. The accountants verified that there were bank records for all of these. The corporations had typical corporate expenses. The accountant said that all four of Fife's corporations and one of Cron's corporations had tax ID numbers, thus putting the government on notice that there is a corporation here and you need to be looking out for these tax returns from this corporation.
But you have to have that before the bank will even open up an account for you.
Correct.
I mean, so you couldn't... Maybe the guidelines are internally inconsistent, but if they aren't, then using a corporate shell would always imply that something had a tax ID number. Or that, usually, I suppose, maybe some corporations deal solely in suitcases full of cash or something, but
that's
most,
true.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Pardon, Judge Wood. That's true. It's only one factor, though, that Fife is and Karen Cron are relying on. One factor of the whole regarding the box of documents that the accountants testified that they brought into their office. And the accountant said, well, we asked for more documents at later times, and James Fife brought in more documents relating to this entity. And through going over all the receipts that they kept and the paperwork that they kept, we were able to create corporate records.
Did one of the accounts receive proceeds from a bribe for sludge removal?
Well, that's the government's position, is that that happened. And that came out through the testimony of, I believe, the government cross-examined the two accountants and asked, well, if you knew that money from this company was coming into this, would it make a difference? Or were you aware that Greg Sitkovich paid Fife money? And the answer was always, no, I'm not aware. And that's the evidence. The accountant wasn't aware. But there was no evidence actually presented by testimony of Sitkovich that actually happened.
There was no evidence that Fife received a bribe for that purpose.
There was an assertion in response to a pre-sentence report by the government. And if there are no further questions at this time, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Benjamin.
Thank you.
Mr. Kirsch.
May it please the Court. I'd like to start where Ms. Benjamin left off regarding the assertion of the bribe to the C Corporation. There was no factual evidence presented at the sentencing hearing regarding the bribes to the C Corporation because there were no factual objections to the $10,000 from criminal activity, which they've now abandoned on appeal for good reason. As you can see, Judge Moody, I think the record is very clear on how Judge Moody felt about this case. But Judge Moody gave the defendant acceptance of responsibility, and I think if the defendant had objected to specific facts and the government was required to put on evidence regarding those facts, the defendant would have lost acceptance of responsibility.
So this is in the pre-sentence report and not objected to by the defendant.
Exactly. The government put forth its version of facts, what it would prove, and essentially the defendant conceded that the government would prove that. I want to talk just a little bit about the sophisticated means enhancement. I think it's somewhat inconsistent that the defendant has abandoned its $10,000 from criminal activity argument on appeal, but continues to pursue the sophisticated means enhancement, in part because of this C Corporation sludge contract. I really have a hard time imagining shell corporations that would be worse than the corporations that were set up by Fife. He dragged his wife into this, who at the time was his girlfriend, who was clearly a willing participant in what was going on. He took so much money from the city of East Chicago during the 4 years that he worked there that he had to do something to conceal this money. And so therefore these sham corporations and these outrageous contracts and the amounts of money that were going to him. There are so many examples of how this was sophisticated, including the nominee ownership. The court, as part of the sentencing exhibit, I put in the grand jury testimony of Janice Miksich, Mr. Fife's sister, And it's clear through just reading a couple of pages of that grand jury transcript, she knew nothing about anything. And she signed these documents, like she said, because that's what I thought family was all about.
But this case comes to us purely as a tax case, right? There was no, I mean, the impression I get from reading all of this is that Mr. Fife himself was getting money from the city of East Chicago for his services as an independent contractor, and he was also causing the city of East Chicago to enter into contracts with these various companies, and so the city was paying them, which it's the government's theory de facto was the same as paying him even more money. But the government never charges anything on that?
Correct, Your Honor. The government never charged on a services fraud or anything along those lines, partly because of the legal issues involved with those cases and the city official argument and things like that, and partly because of the strength of the tax fraud case. This is just such an egregious tax fraud case, and with the enhancements under the sentencing guidelines that in the government's position clearly apply abuse of trust, at least under Seventh Circuit case law, which I think is absolutely correct. I don't think there's any question that the abuse of trust enhancement applies. The defendant doesn't argue that he didn't abuse his position to facilitate the crime. He just argues that he didn't abuse a position, or excuse me, that he didn't hold a position of trust.
For the United States, yeah. Is there any evidence in the record that anybody but Mr. Fife was providing services on behalf of these companies that he owned?
No, there is no
employees, no others.
No, the evidence is exactly the opposite. These corporations, that they just simply didn't exist. They were, they
so
existed.
There were all these payroll records and everything that we're being told to think of.
Pardon?
What are all the records that the accountants were putting together when they created the journals? Is that just all 65 different ways of showing how Mr. Fife got paid, or what?
Checkbooks. Checks to country clubs, checks to credit cards, checks to dinner. I guess they could recreate the Mercedes just the way we did. You know, $10,000 check to Karen Kron, or KLK deposited into her account, and then she goes out and uses $40,000 to buy a new Mercedes. And what they testified to at the sentencing hearing is that they used Mr. Fife's handwritten notations on the checks, that the checks were for a certain purpose, to recreate the books and records, which we know there's some problems that Mr. Fife had with that because of the C Corporation deal, where he submits phony invoices to his friend, who is the elected North Township trustee, Greg Sitkovich, to receive payment on a contract that Mr. Sitkovich had arranged for him and another one of his friends, Danny McCardle, a convicted felon, to receive a sludge removal contract. And in that instance, Mr. Fife gave Mr. Sitkovich phony invoices to say that the payments were for office administration and things along those lines, when that never occurred. So I know when we conducted our grand jury investigation, we subpoenaed records that just didn't exist. And in fact, when we subpoenaed his accountants, who had been preparing his tax returns for almost 2 years after he had received several delinquency notices from the IRS in the state of Indiana, the accountants didn't even know the existence of these corporations that had received hundreds of thousands of dollars over the previous years. And then I think Mr. Fife brought some documents to the accountants and said, well, we better try to straighten some things out here with the IRS before this goes down, the path that obviously he didn't want it to go down. So I have nothing further to add on either of these two issues, abuse of trust or sophisticated means. I know I didn't touch much on abuse of trust, but I think the law in the Seventh Circuit is clear, particularly in the Ellis case, which was just decided this year. And unless the court has any questions, I simply ask that the district court's decisions be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Kirsch. Ms. Benjamin, how much time? You have 2 minutes, Ms. Benjamin.
Thank you. May it please the court, Fife pled guilty to filing false tax returns. He was never charged with manipulating the city contracting process to its benefit, and therein lies the rub. Now, the Seventh Circuit, when talking about abuse of position of trust, has indicated in Ellis and Bagavon that the court may apply this enhancement, even if the defendant did not occupy a position of trust in relation to the victim of the charged offense. Now, other circuits, including the 10th and the 11th circuits, when looking at tax evasion cases, say that when you apply the abuse of position of trust enhancement to a tax case, the victim in the tax case is the federal government. And they look to that nexus between the victim of the charged offense and the abuse of trust. And what they hold in those cases, and that's Baccarat, and I believe there's Baccarat is one of the cases, and then the other case is Guidry in the 10th Circuit. They say that with a tax evasion case, the victim's the government. The position of trust must be found in relation to the victim of the offense, which in that case would be the federal government. Clearly, there's a split among the circuits in looking at how to apply the abuse of position of trust enhancement. And Fife has 2 points in that regard. The first would be he's not similarly situated as the defendant in Bagabon, who owns 60% of this corporation, who is a major shareholder, controller of the corporation, dictated everything fiscally responsible for that corporation. Fife's an independent contractor, so he's not in the same position. But also, Fife asks that you look at the difference among the circuits and reexamine the position that the Seventh Circuit took in Ellis and Bagabon, and also determine that because he did not occupy a position of trust with the federal government, who is the victim in the charged offense, that you determine that the abuse of trust enhancement is not applicable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Benjamin. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow morning at 9:30.